You're listening to Make Business Personal, a podcast for leaders and business owners who want to change the way we define success in life and business. I'm your host, Kylie Peters. Welcome back. Today, we are talking about overcoming self-sabotage, and we are joined by the one and the only, the lovely Kate Carter. Kate Carter is a certified fearless living coach and trainer who helps women entrepreneurs stop self-sabotage, sounds nice, and boldly build lives and businesses that they love, also sounds lovely. Kate is also a guest speaker in our accelerator program for women business owners, and she's going to give us the lowdown, everything we need to know about self-sabotage. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kate.
Great. So happy to be here.
All right. Okay, Kate, give us a little rundown about what you're talking about, the range of topics, et cetera, that you go through in the accelerator program.
Okay. So Kylie, as you know, I sometimes call myself an inner life coach, which aligns so beautifully with what you're doing, business is personal, because we bring ourselves with us when we start a business and all of our, you know, inner obstacles and challenges and strengths and great experience. But one of the things that we find when we take a leap like this, one of the things we're going to find right away is that our vulnerabilities, our fears, old things we thought we maybe had conquered before, they'll show up again because you are pressing at the edge of a fear barrier. You are taking things to a new level. And so what can show up, I use self-sabotage, that's definitely an umbrella term. Imposter syndrome, that's one a lot of us have talked about. Avoidance tendencies, just running away from things. Negative self-talk, sort of the, you're so inspired and you take the leap to create your own business that you've been dreaming about. And you wake up in the middle of the night, like, who am I to think I can do this? I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. So many different ways that our subconscious fear wiring will pull us back. And so what I am doing in Accelerator and what I love to help women with is learning how to hack all of this and learning what's a symptom of it and what's the actual cause. That's a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's fair to say that that shows up for, well, I'll argue to say all of us at many different points in our business, whether we're just starting the business or we've been doing it for a couple years, or even those who are like towards the end and they're ready to exit, just because you're doing something new also brings a lot of fear. It brings, you talk about imposter syndrome. There's a lot of that that comes up throughout the entire journey when you're doing something you've never done before.
Absolutely. If it's unfamiliar, a genuine change, your brain is wired for fear to show up and slow you down, maybe try and stop you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that being said, it's a big topic, right? There's a lot going on here. If we were to break this down, though, what are the three things entrepreneurs need to know to make sure that they are not self-sabotaging?
Okay. One, learn how emotional fear operates in your mind and in your body. We all have some pattern of this in some way. And the very first step is just becoming aware that it's happening. Okay. Then have compassion, which sounds impractical at times. I think we're coming around in our culture to see that more and more. But usually what we try to do in that moment when we realize, oh, we're struggling, is we judge and maybe critique. Mm-hmm. How we respond into that moment when we're struggling is actually one of the most important things. So respond with compassion. Your brain is lying to you. That's what's happening. So take care of yourself and get support. It is very, very hard to take these leaps without support, which is why absolutely. I always show Rain 9, because I love all Rain 9 events and because they're so supportive.
Oh, thanks, Kate. Okay. Would those be all the three, or is that just the top one?
Become aware, have compassion, reach out for support.
Okay.
There's so lots of other steps to do in there, but that's where you start.
That's where you start. Okay. Self-aware. Self-aware, compassion.
Treat yourself with compassion.
And then reach out for support. Okay. And just to follow up there, like, what are some of the places that you would recommend some people consider turning to if they're feeling, well, let's dive into each one of those for just a second. How can somebody get better at increasing their self-awareness? What are some examples of how they could refer to themselves with greater compassion or respond with compassion? And what are some of the ways that they can reach out for additional support or resources, maybe?
Yep. So baby steps in becoming aware. Mindfulness is really pervasive, thankfully, in our culture right now. And it literally is a slowing down and catching your thoughts and your feelings, bringing yourself into the present moment. There are apps out there to help you do that. And the reason why this is so helpful with self-sabotage is because our brain is pumping through chemicals that are trying to stop us and make us feel bad about ourselves because it thinks we're about to do something that's very dangerous. So what we want to do is separate the feelings and the thoughts from what's actually happening, sort of like take the misery out of it, still take the steps, big difference. And so just slowing down and getting aware that this is happening and it's not true, right? I always say
identifying the facts.
Yep, identifying the facts.
Okay.
Right, versus the thoughts and feelings. And the thing is, when our brain wants to stop us around an emotional fear, it's particularly nasty. It goes right for the jugular. It makes us feel like absolute crap about ourselves. So we will experience things like shame, defeat, victimization, exhaustion. And we tend to look at these as personal flaws. They're not. They're the result of brain wiring when you try and do something new or big or scary. So mindfulness practices, talking it out, journaling it out. That's a big one that helps me a lot. If I can get my brain out on the page, I can actually begin to separate everything and be like, oh, look at that. My brain is really attacking me right now. It literally tries to hijack us. So anything you can do to practice that. And, you know, most people in our lives, somebody in our lives knows about practices of mindfulness or slowing down. So, and you don't have to sit in a corner, very quiet. Still, some people walk and do mindfulness. Some people do art and do mindfulness. Lots of different ways you can practice that. The compassion, this one can be pretty hard because most of us, myself included, internalize the myth that I have to be hard on myself to grow. That the only way I can move forward is by being really strict and harsh with myself. It's actually a total myth. Brain studies back this up, that judgment and criticism exhaust us. They're not sustainable motivating factors. They might help us get something done in the short term, but it will lead to burnout, which you and I have talked about. We've experienced burnout. And so when we can bring compassion doesn't mean passivity or niceness. It means looking at what's going on with love. Right? Looking at what's going on with love for yourself. And what I think I've told you this before, but one of my favorite quotes is there's nothing so strong as gentleness and nothing so gentle as real strength. We know this with people we love in our lives. We know what it is to be compassionate and hold our boundaries, compassionate and get the thing done. It's very hard to bring that to ourselves. This is why support is so helpful, because sometimes we need help just expressing our fears around it, giving ourselves permission. Right? Yeah. Oh my gosh, what if I just don't end up doing anything? What if I learn how to rest? Like, that can feel terrifying to some of us. So finding a way to give ourselves kindness, compassion, we know how to do it with our friends and loved ones, learning how to do that with ourselves, then we can be honest with ourselves and see what's going on. But honesty without compassion is very harsh. Very, very harsh.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then the last piece is support. I mean, I am the person I am today because of the people in my life, the people I've reached out to for help. Some of us can do it on our own. This inner work, it's just so much harder. And part of the power of transformation is in the rapport. You know, so if it's with a coach, great. If it's with a consultant, great. If it's with a friend or a networking group, find people who know what you're dealing with, whether they know the sort of the inner workings of how fear works, whether they know, oh, I'm, you know, 6 years ahead of you in my business, I could help with that. Or I changed my business, I changed it to this, and I went through that. Find somebody who understands that landscape and can support you. Because one thing our brain wiring loves is isolation, and it can hit us hard if we pull away. We feel more vulnerable around those areas. If we isolate with them, it will make it 10 times harder.
Yeah. And I think your recommendation here of asking for support is also a good reminder, because sometimes, especially for a lot of women, sometimes it can be seen as, well, for anybody, actually, I should say, anybody. Yep. Asking for help, asking for support can be seen as weakness, but it's really not. Yep. It's really just a signal of great self-awareness.
Yep. And a lot of women I work with have a selfish trigger, whether it's a capital T trigger or a small T trigger, like, oh, that's selfish. Like, I'll focus on them or I'll do that. So it's not selfish. It's not wrong. And it definitely is not weak.
Yeah.
So Kylie, I've reached out for you for advice. We've talked back and forth, and definitely every one of the Rain 9 gatherings, I've asked people for advice. I can coach till the cows come home, but I'm learning how to run a business, right? No way I'm going to figure it out on my own, nor do I want to. It's so much less fun.
True. And I mean, that's a good point. You know, like so many of us are starting businesses or running business or leading to an exit of a business because we know how to do something really well. It doesn't mean that you know how to do everything really well. Exactly. You're one human. Exactly. Like that's crazy. That's crazy. Okay. So that being said, Kate, what is the one action item that you want everybody listening to right now? What do you want them to do, or what action do you want them to take to lessen or try to not avoid, but to remove themselves from this self-sabotaging mindset, this place?
Okay, lots of possibilities. The one I'm going to say, the one I find most women find the most helpful, and I will say it's 50-50 as to whether they like it or not, is at the end of the day, it's a challenging practice. At the end of the day, write 3 to 5 acknowledgments for yourself. Write.
Okay.
Acknowledgments are, I give myself credit for, I acknowledge myself, or I pat myself on the back, whatever language feels genuine. And these are for small things you did today that move the needle forward. They're different than wins. They're for the places where we're really stuck, and we might take one movement forward, even if it's a thought about moving forward. Write that down. Write it, because it goes deeper than if we just say it or voice it into our phones. Write it down. And what this is going to start to do, it's going to start to shift your brain's focus on what you haven't done to what you have done. And that's a much more energized, proactive space to work from. Our brain, it takes 3 positives to outweigh 1 negative in our brain, because we have a default wiring for survival.
Well, isn't that nice?
So writing down the steps we did take in that day, rather than we did 10 things well and we missed one thing. What are we thinking about when we go to bed? The one thing. We want to shift that. And what that can help us do, it can help us say, oh, look at that. I am trying. I am working. Things are moving forward.
Yeah, I love that concept, because anybody who's listened to me talk about anything, I talk about Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy's books all the time. And The Gap in the Game. They wrote an entire book about this concept. Yeah. And so for anybody who hasn't heard of the book, highly recommended. But the big idea is that so often we spend so much of our time and energy focusing on the gap, which is the distance between where we are and where we want to be. And the truth is that target just keeps moving. So we don't actually really ever get all that much closer, but we should be focusing on the gain, which is at where we are and where we've been. And when we take some time to take a look back, we start to see, wow, I've come a really far way. And I think, you know, Kate, to your point about being gentle with ourselves, we're all evolving. Our businesses are evolving. Us as humans are evolving. You should expect there to be change. And that's okay. That's part of the process. So I love that. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
And one other thing I want to say here, which we sort of jumped over. Is it okay to add something in here?
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. Just your gap and your gain piece reminded me. A lot of times we try to fix the wrong things. So we try to fix procrastination. We try to fix overworking, people pleasing, perfectionizing. Those will take us down lots of rabbit holes that will leave us very cranky and unsatisfied, because like the gain, like the gap, that keeps moving. That's the symptom of emotional fear working in our brains. And so it's why we can change habits and not get the results we want, or they don't last, because you need to go to the deeper levels and look at the unconscious fears underneath. That's when you work at that level, it doesn't matter what your brain throws at you. You can handle it because you know where it's coming from.
Getting curious instead of judgmental. I love it. Yeah. All right, Kate, what is the one thing that you know now that you wish you would have learned earlier in your entrepreneurial journey?
Okay, that's actually just what I said.
Oh.
It is that, you know, I for years was trying to, you know, change a procrastination habit or stop, you know, overworking or overgiving or people pleasing. And it turns out that will just run you in circles for a very, very long time. And if you conquer one habit, the fear wiring in your brain is going to can throw up a different one, a different obstacle, because its whole job is to stop you leaving your comfort zone, because outside of your comfort zone, it doesn't know what's going to happen. And it thinks that's bad. Unknown is bad to the fear wiring, right? It's thinking emotional survival. So it throws up all these things. So learning not to fall for the trap of trying to fix the symptoms. Fixing the symptoms is letting fear frame the problem. So you're using what's starting the problem, try and fix problem. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It's a vicious cycle.
Vicious cycle.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, the lovely Kate Carter. To our listeners, there you go. You've got a couple of takeaways, an action item. And if you're interested in learning more about the Accelerator program, you can check out all the details at RixAccelerator.com. And we launch cohorts currently every January and July. If you have any other questions you'd like to see answered on this podcast, please go ahead and submit them at mbppodcast.com. And if you found this episode helpful, we would love you to leave a review wherever you're listening. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much, Kate, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Learn more about how to make business personal at makebusinesspersonal.com.